I'm Steve Potter, and this is Cityscape. Coming up, St. Louis Public Radio's Don Marsh will reflect on that day back in 1977 when he interviewed Harrison Ford, Carrie Fisher, and Mark Hamill. They were promoting their new movie, Star Wars. We'll also preview tomorrow's annual St. Louis Christmas concert by the National Lutheran Choir. Well, perhaps you've heard about the snowflakey lady at City Museum. One of her interests is the art of paper folding, and her latest book is really a tool to help you. It's titled 100 Amazing Paper Animal Snowflakes. Marion T. Nichols, welcome to Cityscape.
Thank you.
Now, I called it origami early in the program, and someone pointed out to me that that may not be technically correct.
No, it's kirigami.
So origami, what's the difference?
Well, origami is paper folding. Kirigami is paper cutting. And if you're a purist, you don't combine the two. But I have to fold a little to get to my snowflakes, so it's origami and kirigami.
Now, why do they call you Snowflakey Lady?
I do that on purpose so that I can call my friends who help me my flaky assistants and get away with it.
You know, we had a holiday party here a couple of weeks ago, and someone here, I don't know who it was, asked people to cut snowflakes out of, I think it was it coffee filters? It was coffee filters. And according to very reliable reports we got from the newsroom, things did not turn out well.
It can be very bad. You can cut it all to pieces and not have leave connection points. You must leave connection points. Four.
Now, I keep saying origami, but say what it is again.
Kirigami.
Kirigami.
K-I-R-I-G-A-M-I.
Kirigami. Mm-hmm. Now, do you actually teach classes at City Museum of this.
All
is
the time.
Is this for kids or what?
All ages, from three on up. In fact, I had a 2.5-year-old little boy insist on doing it himself, and he did very well.
Well, you know, I'm looking at your book. This is nothing I've ever done before. I mean, I've seen it done. And you have a book which sort of takes you through the process and gives you the basic tools to
do it.
Yes,
it does.
I don't understand any of it. Is it as complicated as it looks to me?
It's so simple. I've had 4-year-olds fold them themselves even after I teach them how a little bit. But you just have a piece of paper. You copy the page out of the book, and that's a copy page. It's thinnest that you can find, though, because it is 12 layers by the time you're done folding. So the thinner, the better. But you can put Christmas wrapping paper or origami paper through the copy machine sometimes. So you just fold it, 4 folds. It's very easy. Really, very, very simple. Mm-hmm. And then you cut right on the lines. And I can turn anything into a flake. I can turn you into a flake, you see.
I think that happened some time ago.
I like that, too. I like flaky people, so it's just fine. And I'm the flakiest.
I could work for you, I think.
I'm quite the flakiest. But you just make sure that you fold a 6-sided snowflake, or it's not a snowflake. Has to be 6.
6.
Has to be 6. 4 and 8 just does not look as good. Mm-hmm. And 6, all nature, all snowflakes in nature.
You brought some with you today.
I did.
And they're small. I don't know if they're small in size.
You can cut them small. You can copy them at 50%.
These are what, maybe 3?
Those are 50% out of the book.
Oh, I see.
So they're
how big
copied.
Do they get? How big can they get?
Normal copy. Well, I've got one in my room, 4 feet across. Uh-huh. You can take it to Kinko's and use your Christmas wrapping paper and copy it onto that and make a big, huge, fancy one.
Now, do you teach how to make snowflakes all year?
All year
There's
long.
An interest in this all year.
I'm really the snowflakey lady all year long.
That's what
yes.
surprises me. That's just not a holiday thing.
Well, we also, in my room, I'm allowed. You see, about 12 years ago, Mr. Cassely, the artist genius behind the City Museum, saw that people liked my
Bob
little
Cassely.
Six-sided snowflakes, Bob Cassely. And he made me a little kind of six-sided room for my little six-sided snowflakes so I could close the door and tell stories in quiet and do dolls and paper and copper tooling and quilling and all kinds of things in my little room we do.
Uh-huh. I was kind of wondering, thinking to myself before I met you, why I had never done this before. And then I read something you'd said where you were talking about how doing this sort of work appeals to the mathematical part in your brain.
Very much so.
Now, math was always my worst subject in school. I mean, I barely scraped by. Would that be why maybe this—
It might have something to do with it. These are all radial tessellations. I even have some that are
up.
Fractals. A radial tessellation is a mathematical term for a snowflake.
That's why I don't know it.
It's a repeating pattern in a radial form, okay?
Oh, uh-huh.
That's what a tessellation is. And so this one, these are radial tessellations, but I have some that are fractals because it's the same thing, smaller and smaller. I have a pair of hands cutting out a pair of hands, cutting out a pair of hands, cutting. And it's very cool and very fun. And while you're doing this, cutting this, you're doing a type of meditation. You're lowering your blood pressure. You're in your right mind and staving off Alzheimer's. all benefits of cutting snowflakes.
Are you making this up?
No, absolutely true. For real and for true. And actually just looking at them, figuring out what they are, is increasing the mathematical part of your brain.
I feel better already.
Absolutely. Hey, You're getting smarter just looking at them.
I can feel it. I'm looking at the book, and it's 100 Amazing Paper Animal Snowflakes. And I guess it's literally 100, but I'm wondering how you came up with all these. You do snowflakes everything from sharks to pandas, baby elephants, a swan, a polar bear, an otter. I mean, you name it.
These are just the animals. I have 10 books. Other books are ocean animals. This is ocean animals, animals, and more difficult animals all put together. I have those three books at the City Museum. Then there's holidays and musical things, mystical things, dinosaurs, insects, all kinds of other things. I have 500 or so different designs.
Well, you say they can be easy to construct.
Yes.
Is that the right word, constructor?
Yes.
Can they be also be – how difficult can they be?
Oh, I have some that take you at least a half an hour. And I have one, the partridge in the pear tree, that only 59 people in 14 years have succeeded and received their free lamination.
Hmm. Well, you do this all year. You teach these classes all year. People make these all year. What do they use them for?
I have many people come and tell me, oh, I've got them all up on the basement wall still, or they keep the birds from hitting the windows, or they're up all year long.
So there's really no purpose for them.
No, they're just beautiful.
How did you get into this?
I was sitting in front of a TV cutting normal snowflakes the night after millennia.
Normal snowflakes.
Just normal, anything cut. You know, they were nice. They were pretty, but just normal.
Not otters
not
polar bears.
Not anything special. Yeah, okay. Nothing special. But then a nature show on the TV turned a tiger into a kaleidoscope of tigers, and it looked just like a snowflake. And I thought, well, I could do that. I could put animals. I should be able to make that work. That's a cool idea. So I did that, and then I got addicted because it was really cool. I started with this little bird. I didn't start with a tiger. I knew mm-hmm. she'd be hard. She's beautiful, but she's very difficult. Mm-hmm. So you just, I didn't even
have
to.
Looks like a hummingbird, maybe?
It is a hummingbird. And you don't have to even, I didn't have to draw it. I could just cut that one. That was so easy. So easy.
Now,
really.
Most people cut off patterns, but you're saying you freeform it.
Well, sometimes I do. Sometimes I draw it. And I started drawing them for people at the City Museum. Quickly had this line of people waiting for me to draw. It took way too long. So I drew them into my computer, and then I could print out lots of them. And then they're in the computer, so I made the books.
Well, you got to know Bob Castley very well from all your years there. What, just briefly, what comes to mind when you think about him?
Total genius. Just complete total genius. Every 5 minutes, the man would think of something new. Knock a wall down and put it there. Just... that way, you know. And he kind of spoke that way, too, though. He kind of spoke very fast, and then he went down at the end of the sentence. And you couldn't quite understand, and he was about six thoughts ahead. And, he was hard to talk with, but I loved the guy.
You were there almost from the beginning.
Yes, a year after they opened, yeah. Hmm.
You also do some storytelling there?
I love to tell stories, and I totally want to encourage your lovely storytelling events here on NPR. I love your storytelling things. They're marvelous, and especially the family stories. Those are so important to people. They should tell family stories every chance they can to know it and to know where you're from.
That's not the kind of stories you tell, though.
Oh, I do that sometimes, too. I tell about my family. I read about my family that came over on the Mayflower. But I also tell my father's Polish wolf stories or ghost stories from the City Museum. Ghosts. We have lots of them.
City Museum has ghosts?
Absolutely. There's at least a dozen.
No kidding.
I know.
What was that building originally? Was it glass bottle?
Shoe factory.
Shoe factory, that's right.
Brown and International Shoe Company.
Uh-huh.
And they had.
So are they shoeless ghosts or what?
Oh, no. That's what one thing you can hear, especially one of them. His name is Wilson. He only manifests as a running feet sound. Only a couple of people have gotten a little glimpse of him out of the corner of your mm-hmm. eye. But mostly, about every 6 weeks, some child comes and tells me, I heard him. I heard him. I thought somebody was coming up behind me, and I looked, and there's nobody there.
Really?
And it's always running feet. His big clunky shoes, because he was cold, and he got big shoes so he could put three pairs of socks inside. Mm-hmm. And then it didn't work because he had pneumonia and died anyway. So.
Well, is City Museum haunted all year round or just around
all
Halloween?
All year round. No, all year. All times of day or night, crowd or no, you might hear Wilson.
I think you've got a lot of stories up mm-hmm. your sleeve. I bet you've met a lot of people over the years, you know, patrons, customers there.
I just love the people that come into the City Museum. I have the best time. I have the best job in the world.
Why them? What's so special about them?
Well, they're there having fun with family quite often. So you hear good family stories from them. I get them to tell me stories. I hear about I have customers that are like fans. They come back to me all the time. Well, we had to come to the City Museum, but mostly we had to come and make snowflakes with you to listen to and tell stories. And we had the best time. We just it's like a family table where you get around and talk and have the fun things.
So are you there every day?
Every day. Every day. Yep. 5 days a week, 8 hours a day. They actually pay me to have all that fun, insurance and everything.
Do you have a very short story you could share with us? Does anything come to mind? Maybe about a customer or something that happened at City Museum?
Well, I started to tell you a little about Wilson the ghost, okay? So Wilson was one of the children that worked at the City Museum. Before the 1920s, you see, there were no child labor laws. And children down to 6 years old could be working 10, 15-hour days. And they actually wrote it down, documented this. They put these children into the machines, into the big shoemaking machines, because children could fit and they could reach in further and unclog and grease things and oil things. And they didn't care about these kids because they were probably orphans from the orphanage that's still 10 blocks south of the City Museum. And so this little one was probably one of those, and many, many people for over 100 years have heard Wilson's running feet in the museum.
My goodness. Do you tell these stories on a regular basis, certain times, or just—
All day long.
All day long.
On the occasion, as it works.
Wow. Do you have big plans for the holiday? I guess you'll be cutting out snowflakes.
I'll be working day before and day after Christmas is what I'll be doing, and loving what I do. Just love it.
We've been talking with Marion Nichols. She's written 11 books, including her latest, 100 Amazing Paper Animal Snowflakes, and she can be found down at City Museum just about all the time. And we want to thank you for coming and sharing your stories with us, and I'm sure there are a lot more that we haven't even heard yet.
Thank you for having me. I just adore these things.
Marion Nichols, she's the Snowflake Lady at City Museum. Again, thank you. Have a great holiday.
You too.